Dr. Major, what is sleep apnea?
Sleep apnea is a condition where a person either stops breathing during sleep or interrupts airflow during sleep. And what happens then is that the person has to at least partially arouse from the deep state of sleep to get the muscle tone to resume breathing again. So it's a breathing problem during sleep, which then inhibits sort of the normal restorative sleep patterns for the child.
Now, I thought sleep apnea was something that only affected adults, but you're saying children get it as well.
Yeah, that's correct. The estimates are that it's between 2 and 4% of the population of children that have some level of sleep-disordered breathing. And we tend to use the term sleep-disordered breathing because it's a broader spectrum than what we typically see in adults.
So now, your area of expertise is in dentistry. What made you think that there was a relationship between a sleep apnea, children, and oral health, going to the dentist?
So my own clinical specialty is actually orthodontics, and so I deal with children that have problems in terms of their bite relationship and development of the face and the jaws. And so it's been long known that children that breathe through their mouth have particular facial patterns and problems in terms of how their teeth fit together. So that relationship between how the jaw is postured and how the face develops has been known for a long time. What is sort of emerging now is that we also now believe that the pattern of face and the facial development, the structures, may actually be a contributing factor to the development of sleep apnea and sleep disordered breathing, and not just necessarily a consequence of it. So there's now sort of a two-way street where dentists are likely to be able to play a role in, you know, assessing and finding children that are at risk of having this problem, as well as management and participation in sort of the overall diagnosis.
So you have a research project on the go, and that's funded through Albert Innovates Health Solutions. Could you describe for me your research project?
Yeah, so the research project is really around helping educate practicing dentists to identify children that are at risk of having a sleep-disordered breathing problem or upper airway problem in terms of the airflow through the nose and that part of the tract. And what we're doing is trying to help dentists understand sort of which children may be at risk and then where appropriate, how to refer those patients to the medical caregivers so that they can establish a diagnosis. And once a diagnosis is made, then how the caregiver for the dental caregiver then can be involved in sort of the interdisciplinary care of these patients.
Now, you mentioned before that you've noticed different patterns. Could you explain that a little bit more in terms of how you're incorporating that into your research project and what you're looking for?
Yes. Well, dentists are very good at recognizing the facial patterns and the bite relationships that are associated with sleep problems. And so what we're doing is helping dentists understand when they see these kind of patterns, how to ask the right kind of questions, get a good history, and determine whether or not there is likely to be problems in terms of sleep apnea and trouble breathing during sleep. So not all patients that have those kind of patterns necessarily have problems during sleep. There's other causes that can cause those kinds of jaw relationship problems. So it's to try and help the dentist differentiate between which patients they should be referring on and which ones they would just simply manage themselves.
So is there anything that can be done, or is it just a question of being able to identify them and then refer them on to someone else who can then help?
There's definitely treatments that dentists do, and there's a lot of emerging evidence now in the last few years that some of the orthodontic type interventions can have a significant improvement in the problem. The key, though, is that the actual diagnosis of what is happening during sleep really requires physician's input. So it's not appropriate for a dentist to be trying to make a diagnosis of what a child's doing during sleep. What is the important part for the dentist to recognize child at risk, get them referred to the right place, but then to also participate in terms of how to manage those patients. And it's a team. The physicians typically don't really have a good understanding of craniofacial form and orthodontic relationships and how that may be contributing into the overall problem and how that part of the provision of care is an important aspect.
So for the child who has these problems, if it's not corrected, what does it do for the child? How does the child suffer, I guess?
Yeah, well, it can be a big problem. So if a child's not sleeping properly, they may have problems in terms of cognitive function or performance at school. They can have attention deficit type problems, can have problems with bedwetting, they can have small sort of physical development And there may, in fact, actually be some long-term consequences in terms of cardiovascular health.
Are there other things that you notice then that are related to this that you could be looking at or recommending to dentists that they look at?
Yes, obstructive sleep apnea in children or sleep disordered breathing in children is really multifaceted in how what causes it. You know, abnormalities in the form of the face and the jaws, as we've talked about, can be one of the factors, because if you restrict the size of the airway through having a narrow upper jaw, for example, that inhibits the amount of air that can move through the nose and can contribute to the sleep apnea problem. There's other things that contribute to it from a sort of a dimensional point of view. Large tonsils and adenoids are a very common cause of sleep apnea in children. But there's also a variety of other factors that come into place. Premature birth is one of the large sort of etiologic factors. Obesity in children is another factor. Inflammatory conditions such as uncontrolled asthma, uncontrolled problems in terms of chronic colds or rhinosinusitis, and those sorts of things are also known to be involved. So it's a situation where, you know, the diagnosis has to take into account all of these factors to be effective. You know, the very traditional approach to treating children with obstructive sleep apnea really is tonsils and adenoid removal. And while that is still a very important part of how you might manage these patients, the current research suggests that about 50% of the children who have tonsils and adenoids removed actually have resolution of the sleep apnea problem. So it's certainly not a cure-all.
Well, it sounds like it's something that would be really helpful for parents and doctors and dentists and everyone. I had absolutely no idea. I never would have thought about that with my own children.
Yes, actually, it's amazing how many of these children are going undiagnosed. And one of the other reasons we're really wanting dentists to get educated is that dentists see patients on a very regular basis for dental care. And because we're seeing them regularly and monitoring them over a long period of time, we really have an opportunity to really be able to recognize some of these things, even if they don't have, you know, dental impact.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Majors.
You're very welcome.